2. Caitlin helps me drape the pressed red and white checked tablecloth over the picnic table. Andrew, who is helping Dad, is trying not to hack too much as Dad sends smoke through the burrow while fanning the grill. "There we go," Dad announces. "The briquettes have caught fire."
"Adam, remember the ozone layer," Mom says cheerfully to Dad through the hole in the screen door.
"I'm more worried about my lungs," Andrew jokes, trying to find a pocket of clean air to breathe by the olive tree. "Stay back then, buddy boy," my father tells him. "Downwind is a killer."
"Hello,"
Gran says as she comes down the walkway from our street to the backyard. Her sun hat is so wide, I can barely see George behind her. She waits for him to reach around her to open the gate. Gran sashays into the backyard like it's a theatrical set, and she's making her entrance playing Queen Victoria. She fluffs her full cotton-ruffled skirt behind her like a train.
"La familia!"
She extends her arms. I rush over to Gran and throw my arms around her. Mom comes out of the kitchen carrying the biggest bowl of potato salad I've ever seen.
"Your signature potato salad. Yum," Gran says.
"Thanks, Ma." Mom kisses Gran on the cheek. I fussed. And it's true. Mom decorated the potato salad with a sunburst made with slices of hard-boiled egg and rays of red paprika. Dad waves at them with his tongs through his fog of smoke. Gran gives me a box of cupcakes. They're from Sweetie Pie in the Village, far better bakers than I. George greets my mom as a little dog.
A King Charles Spaniel nips at his heels.
Gran leans down and picks up the dog.
"Say hello to your first cousin, Cleo."
"You got a dog?" I can't believe it. Gran is so not an animal person, and not because she doesn't like dogs. We come from a family who never has pets because we're always traveling. Gran with her plays and Mom and Dad with their work. Sure, we get wistful when we see kittens in a rescue crate on the street corner or new puppies on a leash, but we know our limits. The artist's life is no place for pets.
"Mom, you're forever full of surprises."
Mom reaches down to pet Cleo.
"Cleo is a gift from my George,"
Gran says, practically exploding with love.
"I adore puppies," Caitlin sighs.
She pets Cleo, but looks at George instead. It's like it's 1940 and she's meeting the real Cary Grant.
"She's a sweetie," George says.
"Well, here's how it went. The story of Cleo."
Gran removes her sun hat and hangs it on the hook on the grape arbor.
"We were on the road. Youngstown, Ohio?"
"Cincinnati," George corrects her gently.
"Right, right. George said, we need a dog. And I said, George, a dog is not a need, a dog is a want. And he said, wouldn't it be great to have a little companion on the road? So we went to the shelter there because I saw that puppy mill episode on Oprah and it broke my heart. I will never, as long as I live, get those images out of my mind. I felt compelled to do something. Anyhow, there we are at the pound, and you should have seen the dogs. I wanted to adopt them all. But the lady running the place said, I have the perfect dog for you. The owner died, that's tragic, but she's only 3 and very well behaved. Then she brought us to Cleo, and I fell in love, and then George fell in love, and here she is.
Cleo's brown eyes are so big and wet, she seems emotionally moved by Gran's story. Even though we know Gran has probably told this story a million times, Cleo had better get used to it. Actresses tell the same stories over and over again. Occupational hazard from memorizing lines and repeating them, performance after performance, night after night, in city after city.
She's already brought us luck,
George smiles. His perfect teeth are so white, they are almost blue, Hollywood dazzlers.
The best kind of luck.
How so? Dad brings a platter of his signature summer cookout